This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Hopefully you're doing well for a Friday or not. I'm not your boss.
Friday. Are we bringing that back? We haven't done a Friday in a while.
We haven't done a Friday. It's because I'm sleep deprived, eh?
Oh, yeah. You were at 5 last night.
Yeah, I was at 5A. And so I am exhausted, eh? everything has an A. Alpha Bucks, Monday. Let's get into it. Also, we're doing Spinopoly next week, giving away money on a spin wheel.
Lots of cash.
All right. So Alpha Bucks for Monday, your letter is B for bingo.
Okay.
I'm looking for a hard one here. Yeah, this is hard for me. I suspect hard for you. Not hard for everyone, but it's a bit of a thinker. Starting with the letter B, name me an Australian sportsman.
Billy Slater.
Who the hell is Billy Slater?
NRL player. He played for the Storm.
Okay. Well, I mean, I take it.
And he played in Origin, I'm pretty sure.
So I've got Brett Lee, like cricket.
Oh, yeah.
And Bernard Tomic, tennis.
Isn't it Bernard?
No, they say Bernard Tomic.
Do they?
Yeah.
I always thought it was Bernard Tomic.
Maybe it is Bernard.
I actually don't know. I am not the one.
Well, now I've got to look it up. So, pad for me.
No one's going to be more surprised if I'm right on this. Okay, I'm just looking up Billy Slater because I was questioning myself with that one too. Because you know Carly Sports Chat. And yes, Billy Slater, that's right. He did play for Storm.
Okay, you're right on there. Here's an ad right now. We're sitting here. All right, here we go. This is him playing.
Oh, God. We'll be here forever.
Oh. What? I'll commentate it. What? He's going for a shot. He goes for a shot. He goes for a shot. He goes for another shot. He goes for a shot. Hits a shot. Oh. All right.
Well, it's an interesting shot, isn't it? It's a terrific change-up because any player at the other end of the court would expect Ian Harden come in.
What player?
And so you can see Benitez out of shot. He's deep in the court saying,
That's what I said. Yeah, what is that shot? No one plays that shot.
You didn't even say it!
Did they say a name and it sounded like nothing like we're saying?
No, that was fair.
Another guy.
I'm going to another interview.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
It's a typical afternoon off for Bernard Tomic.
Wow, I retract the Bernard and I go to the Bernard.
Bernard.
Bit pompous.
Yeah, but isn't he from some fancy country?
I thought he was Australian. Wasn't he Australian?
Oh, is he?
Well, that was the whole point of the question.
I've lost all credibility.
Because Australian sportsman. But I don't know. I don't know tennis, as you could hear. Well, enjoy the podcast.
I mean, the name Bernard doesn't scream Aussie, does it?
It does not. Bernie. Now that is Aussie.
Bernie
Tommy.
Anyway, he does a good job.
Does he?
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
I watched a bit of his tennis just now. Seems like a nice
guy. Oh, I'll see you a different person.
What? Who are you
I thinking? Just Googled him.
Who?
Bernard Tomic. I think I got him confused with another tennis player.
Okay.
I think Pat Rafter.
Pat to the rafters? God, tennis chat. Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hey, I was busy yesterday. My mother-in-law needed a little visit to the hospital and Julia was working and her sister was working. And I went, you know what? I can do it. I can help out my mother-in-law. To set this up, she is a 79-year-old little Thai woman. So
you sent a photo yesterday
to our group
and the tote bag she was carrying was bigger than her.
Yeah, she's a tiny little lady. I love her. She's my mother-in-law. She's awesome. And yeah, her English, it's weird. I've said this before. She claims her English is limited. It's not. She speaks English better than me. But she just like holds back and lets people talk and then she smiles and looks like she doesn't understand what's going on. She knows exactly what's going on.
What a superpower.
It's so good. So she had to go in and basically get this little heart monitor thing attached just to make sure everything's all good. It's going to track her over the next couple of weeks. But we had to go in, the fitting and stuff. And I was told from Julia, my wife, that there'd be a Thai interpreter there. I'm like, oh, sick. Like, that means my job's nice and easy. I just have to sit back and just let it all happen. So we rock up. I'm chatting to Julia's mum, you know, where, you know, getting along, you know, classic banter, talking about Buddhism and all the stuff, you know, it's all great.
How many jokes you got around that?
I had plenty of gear. Don't you worry about that. I said I wanted to come back as a cat. And then she was like, no, you don't. You want to come back as a human. Cats are like, you don't want to come back as an animal. Humans are like the thing to come back as. I'm like, disagree. And so I told a woman that has dedicated her entire life to Buddhism about how it should be. It was great. So the interpreter rocks up and straight away, they're hitting it off. Entire, I might add. So I'm just sitting there kind of like, get it, catching every maybe 10th word.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I don't understand. I'm like, at first I'm like, do these people actually know each other? You know, WA's fairly small.
Yeah.
And so straight away they're chatting. She's holding my mother-in-law's hand at one point. I'm like, what is happening?
Wow.
Very friendly culture, to be honest, Thai anyway. So I'm like, they maybe know each other. They maybe don't. I don't know. Then I hear a Ajahn Brahm throughout everything they're saying. I'm like, bam, I recognize that. That's the monk, the head monk that does a lot of the stuff at the temple okay. that Jula's mum yep. goes to. I'm like, they must know each other from the temple.
Yep.
So I'm just hanging back. They're just having their full chat, full tie, just boom, 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 a million miles an hour. Like I said, I'm barely getting a word in. In fact, I'm not getting a word in. I'm just sitting back like, and then she looks at me, the interpreter, and goes, oh, yeah, I know your mom. We go to the same temple. And I went, oh, cool. Like, that's great. That's really, really good. And so then I was redundant for like the rest of the visit. I just stood out there, just kind of hung back.
Did you carry the tote at least?
I did offer to, but the interpreter picked it up and she carried it to the point where I was so redundant. Like people were referring to the interpreter as the daughter. They're like, oh, is this your daughter? Like, no, that's the interpreter. I'm here. I'm the family member.
Did you even get any tie-in? Because I know you wanted to practice
some. So I did, like, because I know a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit here and there. And so right when it's all done. And like it's all sorted, she's got the monitor all on, the Thai interpreter, you can see she's like getting ready to leave. I look over and I look at my mother-in-law, I go, Gat Ban? And the interpreter, her eyes widen up, she goes, oh! Because Gat Ban means I want to go home. Ask me how I learned
of
that one.
Of course, that is the one phrase that you would know.
And she's like, oh, very good.
And now then, I know what you said at the barbecue on the weekend.
I looked at Julia and I went, Gat Ban? And then we went home, so... You know, it was lovely. They got a nice catch up.
And you got to go home.
And I got to Gat Ban. It was a great time.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
We're joined in the studio by a special guest. You know him from Home and Away. James Stewart plays Justin. Hello.
Good morning, Alan and Carly.
What's going on with you, mate? Welcome back to WA.
I am here to go to the Mandurah Crab Fest.
Yeah, how exciting. Channel 7's Mandurah Crab Fest happening this weekend. Attracts visitors from all around the state and country, it turns out.
Apparently so. There's going to be a lot of cooking. Matt Hayden's coming down, so I can't wait to see what he does.
Mm.
But I'm really keen for some locals to show me how they eat their crab. I know some people like to pull it apart and load up the meat on the plate, put it next to some salad with a shardy.
Yep.
Some people just put the bib on and tuck in.
Yep.
I don't know which way I'm going to go, but I think it's probably going to be just the tuck in kind of.
We've talked about this in the show before. I'm a in private kind of eater when it comes to crab.
Most people are.
Yeah, it's very messy the way I do it. I get in there, I'm cracking legs, and I'm like getting there, and I'm just like, blah, 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 blah,
very
blah.
Primal, isn't it?
Yes. I went to an event once, and they were serving it around. I looked at them dead in the eyes, and I went, you need to open this up for me. And they went, sir, I'm not doing that. I'm like, well, this isn't happening.
Though. Isn't there utensils you can use
to do it
as well?
Yeah, but it's still messy, you know? But I mean, if there's any place in the world where you're allowed to make a mess while eating crab, it's this weekend at Mandurah Crab Fest, right?
I think so. Apparently, I've been told that's the joy of eating crab. Put the bib on, let it get messy. Put the lemon juice dripping, you know, and you see it in some American films. They love it. A couple of beers. They love it.
Yeah.
Susanna Carr from Channel 7 News, I heard her say, oh, it squirted me when she was one of the years. So we'll see if she says that again, Carly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I was just scrolling your Wikipedia page doing my due diligence here.
Oh, yes.
About 3 minutes before you came in, actually. She's been hard at work.
Obviously, we know everything that you do. It's amazing. But sometimes on Wikipedia, it's very cool because people can just edit it and put random things on there.
Random.
Now, if this is true, it is very cool. On Wikipedia, it says that you have an identical brother.
Yes.
You do. True.
Identical twin brother.
Huge opportunity.
I know.
To troll the director of Home and Away. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been tempted to swap him out in a seed?
We dropped the seed a couple of times. We dropped, you know, there could be the evil twin comes to town.
Classic storyline
or something like that. But we haven't got there yet. He's a musician and a very fine musician. Won arias in you know, early 2000s with his band George and still plays music. But
what?
Sorry.
Your brother was in George.
Yeah.
With Katie Noonan.
Yeah.
That's my favourite band of all time.
Oh, well, he's the guitarist. He wrote, like, you know, a lot of their catalogue.
I know all of them.
Well, I lived with Katie for a long time.
What?
Yeah. And then, so me and Katie
I'm just going to leave and let you guys chat.
Started the band, Jesus. And then I left to do acting, and my twin brother kind of took over with those guys, and they just did so well, and they're incredible musicians, and she really coined the, you know, a voice of their generation. So I'm not sure Nick can leave the the music scene so easily, but I'd love him to come on the Home and Away sometime.
How did they not have that on Wikipedia? I am going to edit Wikipedia after this. Wow. Wow.
Now, yeah. to see Carly so happy, it does make me happy. However, I do want to throw her under the bus for half a second. She did say off air.
Don't.
And then we brought it to air.
Alan.
She's like, because I'm like, we're chatting to James Stewart. He's going to be a lovely chat. Can't wait. She goes, do you think he's related to Alf Stewart?
I'm a little sleep deprived this morning, James. I apologize. Wow.
We look a little bit different. But we are both Queenslanders and we both love the footy. So that's as close as it gets for us, mate.
Jeez. So sorry.
What a mix of emotions for you, this interview, Carly.
It really has been. What a roller coaster.
Now, of course, the Channel 7 Magic Craft Fest is going to be a hell of an event. They're expecting 120,000 people to get amongst it. Isn't that hectic?
That's great.
That's huge.
It's a big number.
What are you going to be actually doing there? You're going to cook? You're going to...
Definitely going to cook. Definitely going to try some other people's food. Definitely going to go over to see Pop Alley's. I know there's a couple of gigs going on down there.
Right.
Meet some locals, socialize, hang out. You know, get some banter going on.
Yep.
Yeah, love a bit of banter.
Love it. It's going to be great. Now, with the cooking, though, are you doing your own recipe or do they give you a recipe to do?
Look, I think Matt Hayden's got his own recipes coming, but I'm not that, accomplished yet. So I'll chop the tomatoes.
Oh, you're like more of a sous chef kind of vibe.
Even that is a stretch. I'm thinking, just vegetable boy.
Vegetable boy, I love it.
Worst superhero ever.
As a vegetarian, I disagree. Something for me.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Any little tips of what we can expect in the upcoming episodes of Home and Away?
Wedding of the decade.
Oh.
It's coming. It's a coming. She says yes.
Oh.
And we're having it.
I love the idea of them walking down the aisle to George.
Could you imagine?
Brothers there with a guitar.
Wait till you hear what song we walk down the aisle to.
I'll be tuning in.
Look, I'm so excited by these episodes and you know how dangerous Summer Bay can be.
Yes.
This is just a beautiful, beautifully shot wedding.
You're saying it very ominous, like something's going to happen, and something always happens in Summer Bay.
Well,
really?
Does it?
I don't know. I've been watching it for years. I don't think that's true. James Stewart, absolute pleasure. Have fun this weekend for Mandra Crab Fest, and thanks for coming in and chatting to us.
Alan, Carly, thank you so much, guys.
And also, just so you know, the second these mics go off, she is going to annoy the hell out of you about George and Katie Noonan. So do you want me to turn the mics off, or you just want to run away now?
Thanks, mate.
I'm just going to start now. What would
Let's
you like?
Go.
Right, I got a song. You're in it.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
We are gearing up for a very tough and serious game of fake fast facts.
Fake fast facts.
Teresa Shelby still with us?
Yes.
Doling out the lies?
The lies? What do you mean?
All right, what's your fact?
My very true fact is that London black taxi cabs are made tall so that a man can ride in them without taking off his top hat.
Okay, my fact is that, of course, St. Paddy's Day happening on Sunday, so mine is a St. Paddy's fact. St. Patrick was actually born in Wales, not Ireland.
I think that's fake. My real fact is that most cruise ships actually have fake funnels on top of them. Now, I'm talking about modern-day cruise ships.
Yeah.
So, typically, one of them will work, which you'll see the steam come out of, but the other ones, they just whack on there for aesthetic reasons.
Sure, mate. All right, let's go to Travis in York. Who do you think the filthy, dirty, no good, rotten, disgusting, wouldn't trust him with your life liar is?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite like that.
I would.
I'm fairly certain that Shelby is incorrect.
Interesting.
Travis.
Any reasoning behind that, Travis? Are you a hat connoisseur, maybe?
Well, I definitely know that St. Patrick wasn't Irish.
Okay.
And when I was on the Disney Wonder last year, the restaurant, the famous restaurant on the Disney, was actually in one of the funnels. So I know that Carly's is true as well.
And I can tell you right now that Carly's is 100% true. Because, yes, I was on that same cruise ship, and it's true. It's that is that. We can rule Carly out. She's telling the truth.
Interesting. Wow. Travis, you sound like a very smart guy, by the way.
He's very smart. And also loves the Disney cruise. How good was the Disney cruise, Travis?
Loved it. Avengers was fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. That was where I noticed that the funnel thing was fake as well, because they're all doing all these tricks off it. I'm like, you can't do that with a real funnel. What are you doing? It's crazy.
Bingo. They would have been flambéed.
So it comes down to Shelby and myself.
The thing is, Travis is pretty cluey.
He is.
But clearly not super cluey, because my fact was actually real. It was given to me from a listener, which I did double check. Damo from Kirup gave me this one. And yeah, they're designed to fit a 5'8" tall man and his top hat.
This is great. I can wear my top hat in London now.
Finally. And Travis, I'm sorry for betraying you, especially after that connection we had over a Disney cruise, but
that is quite all right.
Mine's a half truth. So St. Patrick was not born in Ireland.
Yes.
But he wasn't born in Wales either.
Do you know where
he was born,
Travis?
In England.
So not only did you fool us, but you fooled Travis.
I fooled everyone. I'm a genius at this game. Travis, thank you. It's been a long time since I got lie, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Wow. You did have me worried for a minute. I was like, did somebody get a fake?
This is how I play the game, baby. Betray, betray, betray. Gotta love it. Should we play again next?
Next?
Okay, maybe not. Just excited. I'm on high.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I know what you're thinking. I'd love for you to give me some stats right now. I'd love for you to give me a little story about how to get a good night's sleep.
Oh, please. I mean, look, I've been sleeping fine.
Yeah, I haven't.
And it's so annoying to people that don't sleep, but I went through a phase recently of not being able to sleep, and I would have taken any advice. I would have done anything. I would have hung from the bloody ceiling with my feet.
Okay, weird choice. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Doctors
have
revealed.
It didn't work.
The most common dinner time habits that are likely leaving you exhausted every morning. I had no idea that dinner could affect you in this regard. I guess it makes sense, you know.
Well, food cheese is energy. Dreams.
Cheese dreams, sure. That's one way to do it. They've said one of the first things you can do to try and get a better night's sleep, according to some doctors, is to break the habit of making dinner your biggest meal of the day. Is dinner your biggest meal of the day? It would be for me, easily.
Lunch.
Really, lunch? Mm. Lunch is always kind of like, it's okay, but dinner's like where I go all
but out. But mine's not really a dinner. It's more like a late lunch.
Okay.
I eat like 4:35.
Okay. I forget that you're 100.
Well, I've got to have like a wide berth between that and going to bed. Well, otherwise, I feel unsettled.
I want to mock you, but that's what doctors are saying. You do need that wide berth. They're saying that make that dinner one of the smaller meals versus your lunch. Make your lunch bigger. So you're actually already doing it right.
Oh, my God.
Because, you having no energy right before you go to bed is actually a good thing, it turns out, so you can sleep.
You got to power down. And the thing is, I get very excited about food, so it takes me a while to calm down before bed after eating. No, that's the thing. I can't, if I'm having like a really exciting dinner, a big dinner, like tonight's Friday night takeaway, I got to have that early. You know what I do with that? I get 5 p.m. on the dot. Otherwise, if I leave it too late, the anticipation, all that, I get too wound up. I don't have much in my life, Alan, okay?
Oh, no, that's abundantly clear. But cool, man.
In fact, sometimes I haven't been able to sleep. This is true.
Oh, no, here we go.
Because I know that I'm going to an exciting meal the next day. Like if I have a really exciting lunch at a restaurant I've been waiting to eat at and I've already researched the menu, sometimes I can't sleep. It's like my Christmas in excitement and in anticipation for the meal the next day. So meals really do affect your sleep.
People who are new to the show would look at us, and I'm a big guy, and they would assume that that would have come out of my mouth, what you just said. But it's come out of yours, that you get so excited for food the next day you can't sleep.
Sometimes. I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not. I mean, right now I feel very alone.
I'm not opening it up on the
I know, but I'm just saying, meals are exciting. It literally what keeps me going.
It's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I've heard so many things from you. That might be near the top. Wow.
Why am I so hungry right now?
Because you're in anticipation, mate. Can't wait.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Carly, what's going on in your world?
Did a bit of shopping the other day, but it was very awkward. So before I had to pop into the shop, I said to Russ, do you need anything while I'm in there? So I was going into Chemist Warehouse. And he said, actually, I hate the beard balm that I've got. It smells disgusting. Can you get me a new beard balm?
I don't use beard balms, but when I used to, when I had a bit of a thicker beard, because Russell's got a great beard.
He's got beard.
Like, it is a make or break if they smell weird.
Yeah. So he's like, I can't handle this one. So I said, okay, well, I don't know anything. And this is like as I'm getting out of the car.
That's a lot of pressure for a last minute bit
of
advice.
I turn around and I said, I don't know anything about beard balms. Like, what do you need? Like, what about the texture? Does it matter? He's like, nothing matters except for the smell.
So what scents did he warn you against? Like a sandalwood, a vanilla?
That's all he gave me. And set me on my...
That's not helpful.
Thank you. So in I go. I get my little bits and pieces. And then I make my way to the beard balm section, which weirdly... is very elaborate.
It's a big section.
The thing about Chemist Warehouse is whatever you're after, they've got 100 options of them.
Well, Kalgoorlie's now aware of it. They said a new one open up.
There's a lot going on in Chemist Warehouse, a lot. It's very, it's like sensory overload in
there. It is. And also, geez, I love a sale.
They do. So I was already feeling overwhelmed, right? Yeah. But then my worst nightmare happened. So, you know, sometimes when you're at the shops and you're trying to get something out of the fridge and someone is just dilly-dallying in front of you and they're not even realizing that you're standing behind them.
Yep.
So then you have to do this awkward dance and then it gets to the point where you're just going to try and, you know, do a Hail Mary and go for it.
No,
and try and reach around them.
Move!
And anyway, so I get to the beard section. There's probably like five people in the whole of this Chemist Warehouse, which is, you know, as we know, Chemist Warehouses are huge.
Well, also their aisles are narrow, so those five people... That would be, that's almost like full store.
So I get to the beer balm section. You would not believe it. There's two men that are standing there just looking.
Yeah, they're overwhelmed as well.
And I'm like, oh no.
It's a big choice. And they're not cheap either. So in the one you buy, you're stuck with it for a while.
So I thought, you know what? This isn't really my lane. I knew that I had to take my time because I've got to sniff each one, you know. I have been given a big task here. So I'm like, I'm going to hang back a little bit, let them do their thing, I'm sure. And they both had great beards.
Yeah, I loved it.
So I was like, they will literally just get the balm and off they go. No.
It's a big choice.
Oh my God, the sniff test, the back and forth, to the point where I thought, you know what, Russell's in the car waiting. I got to get this done. And
he didn't even come in.
Well, the dogs were in the car. You can't leave, you know, because they like to comfort drive.
Okay.
And so anyway, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to squeeze on in there, shimmy my way in.
Excuse me.
And just start, you know, picking and smelling.
Yep.
So anyway, I didn't realize just
how... Like you're harvesting strawberries.
I didn't realize just how weird it is. So me, shimmying in between two bearded men, picking up a balm, smelling it. And then I thought, you know what? I wonder what the texture's like. So...
So you put it on your beard.
I literally put it on my face.
Wow, that's not going to work. That's
not
how it works.
And I remember at the same time they both looked at me and then I realized how ridiculous this looked.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'll be honest, I've got a little Laney-mo going on. Yep. I do. I mean...
I don't see it.
In the light, you do.
I think you should have gone for like the underarm hair or something before you go for your... Like, you don't have much facial hair, real talk.
Not enough to get some beard balm.
No.
So anyway, I was like, I just wonder what it's like on the skin. So I kind of put a little bit, because I wanted it to be near the area where it would hit his nose.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like, you know what I mean? Like, you see how that makes sense, right?
No, but go on.
But to everyone else, it looks like I'm buying beard balm for a non-existent beard.
Yeah, bless.
I look like a pubescent boy.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, after about six or seven balms, I landed on one. It was just me weaving in and out of these two bearded men doing the same thing.
Yep.
It felt very weird. I felt very out of place. But I am proud to say that I did land on the perfect beard balm.
What scent?
So it was like this. Oh, it was, I think it was L'Oreal, actually.
Oh.
They did a good one. Not Spawn.
Well, now you know how it feels when we're asked to go to the shops and buy pads and tampons.
I absolutely do not.
Oh, thought we could have had a learning moment.
No.
All right, cool.
Because I loved it.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.